show St. Catherine's mother, Michelle Sanders. Good morning, Michelle. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Thank you so much for taking some time to join us today. And we're talking this morning mainly about a bright spot in your life, I imagine, your little six-year-old Everett. Tell us about Everett.
Everett is, well, he's 6 years old. He is very, he is a rambunctious six-year-old, as any six-year-old would be. He loves playing baseball, and he loves being out in the community, and he loves being active. He loves music. He's a very, he's a thriving little boy.
Awesome. Great. And Everett, in addition to being a thriving little boy, which is a great news, has some other challenges that he has to overcome that other six-year-olds aren't necessarily having to be facing at this time.
Yes. So Everett acquired his disabilities early in life. He lives with multiple disabilities, including spastic quadriplegia, cerebral palsy, epilepsy, autism. And those are things that doesn't define him by any means. Those are things that he lives with, as each of us experience loss of ability at some stage in our life.
Definitely. Well, like, as you mentioned, you described him, and he's a whole six-year-old boy and a bundle of love and energy for his family. But because of some of those disabilities, and of course he's getting bigger, you and your family have had to actually lift him upstairs up until this point, right?
That's correct. We live in a two-story home. Like many homes in Niagara are two stories or have stairs of some kind in their house, whether they're back splits or side splits. And, accessible housing in Niagara is not terribly easy to find. I mean, there are bungalows, but whether they're, you know, accessibly built, those like bungalows built in the 60s are often, the floor plan is not conducive to a lot of mobility devices, just because narrow hallways and doors. It was a different time when it was built. So this is something that has been on our mind actually over the last 2 years. And that as we kind of seeing where the road is going and what our needs are, like many other individuals and families like us in Niagara and even across Ontario, looking for accessible housing is difficult. It's just simply not there. And so we're looking to space our own spaces to adapt them to our needs, like many other families. And that comes with a significant price tag attached to it. You know, talking about this and kind of thinking a lot about it over the years, there's really, when I agreed to come on the show this morning and chat with you, I didn't want to just talk about us in our particular situation, because we know so many families that are in similar positions, whether it's adapting their home or adapting their vehicle, where we're trying to adapt things that are created for a different time, and they're not created for everybody. When I think about what would be ultimately something that would alleviate the situations in terms of accessible housing for families, I'm thinking to the Ontario Building Code. I'm thinking about, wouldn't it be great? Imagine if we started building our spaces for everyone. If we started building our spaces so that we can age in our space. No matter whether you're a young person with disability, you're somewhere in the middle, or you're in your golden years, we want to age in our space. And I really would love to see us start to change that policy in terms of how we build our spaces, so that at least the bones and structure of the space are designed to be such that it is easy to adapt it to a particular need.
I'm blown away by you, Michelle. I mean, I think that's you know, my hopes in inviting you on too was to you know, highlight that, of course, you're having, or your family's having, a very specific struggle, but that struggle does really highlight a huge hole in the system when families are looking for these things. And I just am really so heartened that you've taken this as a whole community approach. I mean, you started, as you were talking about Everett, that he's facing these challenges now, but the rest of us obviously are going to face them at some point. And that's something I guess we're not comfortable looking at as a society, right? Like, we don't want to think about ourselves, you know, getting older.
Exactly. And I think, I think you're right. It is an uncomfortable thought to think of the fact that as part of the human experience, we, each of us, will experience loss of ability in some fashion or another at some point in our life. Disability is universal, whether you want to put the label of disability on it or not, but that is part of the human experience, and it doesn't have to be a bad thing. I think it's definitely thought of negatively, has negative connotations, because it's associated with problems like this, where you're having to navigate these unique situations, and it can be difficult, but it doesn't have to be that way. When we start looking at creating spaces that are universally designed for everyone.
Michelle, you know, that is such an important message, but I think we can also learn a lot about your specific struggle. And you mentioned looking around at spaces, you know, when you and your family realized a couple of years ago, all right, we're going to have to really have a better solution for this. Were you kind of hoping you would find a home that would fit without having to doing any renovations to your home? Was that your first course of looking around?
Absolutely. That was the first step, to see if that would be possible. And we came to the conclusion that even if we sold our home and we purchased another home, even if it was a bungalow, like in North End, St. Catharines, for example, they're all built in the 60s. We would have had to extensively renovate any home that we would have purchased. And we love where we are, and we didn't see the point in uprooting our family to move to another space that we'd still have to sink dollars into. So we decided to stay and figure out a way that we could stay.
And part of that is raising money for an elevator. And so tell us about that process when you started to look into, you know, what would it take, you know, financially to get that elevator in, and what kind of helps were there or not for you when you started to look around?
Absolutely. So things like home lifts and a number of accessibility things for homes are not publicly funded, meaning that the government doesn't give you money for this. There are some charitable organizations that you can apply to. So our process, this particular item, like I said, I've been working on for the last 2 years in planning. And part of that planning is applying to organizations for funding to alleviate some of the financial costs of the particular product. March of Dimes is one of them. Easter Seals is another. The Ontario Federation of Cerebral Palsy, in our case, because we connect with that organization. But that's really the landscape. That's really the landscape for funding. There's a few other organizations out there, but it's heavily dependent on particular criteria across various organizations. So income can be a factor, diagnosis can be a factor, your particular situation, the age of the individual, et cetera. These applications are extensive, and they do need to be. They need to understand the applicant's situation in order to make decisions on funding. I completely understand that. But they are time consuming. The amount of paperwork to submit and resubmit as you go through each stage of the funding application, because there's more than one stage, is significant. So we did that. As we got, the need became a little bit closer. My mom, she launched our GoFundMe page for us, seeing that the cost of the project was going to be great on our family. She launched that on behalf of us, which was really nice.
Well, and it's really been well received. As we're talking now, it's just under $13,000, and the total goal that your mom put up was for $15,000. You know, and donations coming in from, you know, all kinds of different people. That must be really heartwarming.
It is. I mean, as we're seeing donations come in, there has been friends, there has been family, but I mean, particularly since Abby Green's article went out this past week. We have started to see donations from people that we don't know within our own networks. And that is really nice to see. We don't know them, and yet they've decided that they would contribute towards it. And that is really nice. So I think the whole experience has really been uplifting. Both my partner and I, we like to volunteer our time for our community, and we do that a lot. And it's really great to see that community embrace us and support us.
Yeah, it is really beautiful, but I guess it kind of brings me back to your earlier point, Michelle, where it's like it's so nice to see the community coming together and that they're stepping up in this way, and that hopefully you'll be able to make the retrofit to your home to, you know, have Everett be more included in the day-to-day activities and take the strain off of you and your partner having to carry him around. But, you know, the fact that we do have to do these kinds of things as a society and we're not sort of like banding together and pre-thinking it. It really sort of highlights that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, accessible housing, it in a hierarchy of needs in terms of how can individuals, and I'm not just talking about us, but how can individuals ever pour themselves back into their community, either socially or economically, if their basic human needs have not been met? Shelter is a basic human need. Food is a basic human need. So when you're in a situation where that need has not been met, how are you ever going to express yourself externally or go on to the next hierarchy of self-empowerment? This has to do with, yes, helping us as caregivers get him upstairs, but it, much more than that. It's about empowering him to be free within his own space and developing independence within your own walls, never mind your community or what you want to pursue down the road for a career. It's foundational. It starts at home.
Well, Michelle, Everett definitely has a strong, fierce advocate in his corner. Your family is so beautiful. Thank you for sharing your thoughts this morning, your greater message, and letting us peek a little bit into your life. I really do appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity.